Okay, actually, we're summarizing page 43.5. We're at the tail end of pastors' structure of the church. So what should a pastor in the New Testament, what should a pastor do in a New Testament church? Point one, pastors to feed both the young lambs and the older sheep with food adequate for them. The Bible talks about milk being given to babes and meat being given to those who are mature. If a pastor only preaches salvation, he'll have an immature congregation because that's milk. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to preach, only if that's all that's preached, the sheep are not getting fresh pasture. A pastor must make sure there's a good mix of feed taking place in his messages. And again, we talked about that last week, that you know, the older sheep should be able to draw life out of what's a simple message, but there really needs to be a continual mixing of the feed so that the whole flock's getting fed. And especially if you've got a bunch of guys who are real hungry for the word, they need that type of input and stirring and stuff to be moving them on in their growth. And so that's what one of the things the pastor is doing. Point two, the pastor is to poimeno the flock, to watch, guard, guide, strengthen, heal, bind up, nourish, gather. A lot of facets. And the pastor should be aware if the sheep seem to lack understanding in certain areas. Are there uncertainty and fear in some areas? Have any of the sheep gotten bruised up in relationships and are hurting? Binding up the wounds and strengthening weaknesses will be a normal part of the pastor's life. Restoration is the shepherd's work. Now, there's a lot of things that that can bring fear, uncertainty, and part of it is just weird teaching coming in sometimes that infiltrates with the sheep. And there was a thing years ago called Pigs in the Parlor, and it was talking about Christians being demon-possessed. And that kind of made its way around. We didn't get affected by it too much. We did have some folks come in. Do you remember that? Down at Prospect. But when stuff like that comes in, sometimes sheep pick up on it, but they don't always immediately go, and then they're talking with somebody else, and all of a sudden you've got these restless sheep. Well, and that's something shepherds are trying to watch out for, what's going on, to be able to minister to that area, to strengthen it, to give light and understanding, to keep that type of thing from just infecting the rest of the flock. Because some of the weird doctrines are basically that. They're weird. And they cause the sheep to be like they've been eating loco weed or something. You just got to watch out for that. And so that's part of what the pastor is doing, watching, guarding, guiding, strengthening, healing, and ministering to the various areas. Point three, the pastor should not be the only one doing this. Part of the pastor's job of equipping the saints is to see others raised up to work with him. People need to see the pastor doing the tending of the flock, but they should not learn to rely only on him. Part of the pastor's responsibility is to teach the flock about body ministry in order that they begin to look to others who can minister to their need, as well as they begin to minister. Otherwise, you'll see a burned-out pastor in just a short while. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in ministry, and you hear about pastors who just burn out because it's a one-man show trying to do everything. And yeah, they might have committees, might have that, but it's kind of like, that's the pastor's job. Well, the pastor's job is to oversee, to shepherd, guard, guide, to give input, but also to equip so that everybody is doing their part. Point four, the pastor must be a person of integrity. This doesn't mean that he's totally flawless. means he's open to the Lord, responsive and repentant when wrong, and willing to receive correction himself. He is to walk in innocence and simplicity of heart. This in itself communicates to the flock by example. They'll be able to see if it's there or not. Point five, the pastor should have some skillfulness in dealing with people. The scriptures themselves have a lot to say about relationships with people, how to handle certain types of situations. And 2 Timothy 2:2 says that faithful men teaching other faithful men the things that they have learned is a good way to continue the work of God. The pastor should have some training under other faithful men and learn the things that are vital to serving the flock of God before he's released to pastor on his own. The sheep learn to trust the shepherd's voice because he knows how to lead them. There's a mentoring factor that takes place in just seeing other shepherds raised up. To learn how to deal with some of these things, as well as learning from the scriptures. But it's kind of neat to just see it in action. I lived with Ed Abernathy, who was my pastor in Colorado. And I learned a lot just by being a fly on the wall in the house. You would just hear how he addressed things, how he spoke to people. Sunday afternoons, normally somebody would come over for lunch. And if I went down to my room, I'm down there, all of a sudden I hear Ed start preaching. It's like, okay, I'm going upstairs now. And he just had the ability to capture your attention, and people flocked and just listened. But I learned so much just by seeing how he conducted himself. And so there should be some skill. You can go through Proverbs and just get a ton of stuff. A soft answer turns away wrath. 2 Timothy, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Various attributes in dealing with people. Point six, a pastor should have a servant's heart. Jesus himself, the Son of God, came to serve. And we've seen in 1 Peter 5:1-3 that this leadership should be taken on voluntarily and not because it was forced upon a person. Also, it involves serving, since it should be done from a willing heart, not for the sake of money. He that will be great should be the servant of all. Point seven, the pastor will be the one who teaches the sheep on how to put the word of God into practical application in their daily lives. Point eight, the pastor himself is to realize that he is actually an under-shepherd. He's working with the master shepherd and is ultimately responsible to him. Point nine, the pastor should have other elders raised up to shepherd with him. These elders also help to keep the pastor accountable. None of us is to run free without checks and balances that keep us from unbiblical pursuits, teachings, and actions. And there will be more on that when we get in a section on elders. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy he should study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12 to be an example, give attention to reading, exhortation, doctrine. These are important aspects for a shepherd to consider. A pastor should be knowledgeable in the scriptures and in doctrine. Now, I've covered some practical things from scripture. I just want to give an exhortation to those guys. And actually, it applies to all of us in whatever grace we're in. But especially fivefold ministry, your calling is based on a grace. It is what God has placed in you. And it's going to depend on what you do with that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:9. I just want to exhort you, just three scriptures. Here's Paul the Apostle. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not meet or suitable to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, see this heart here. He says, look, I'm not even suitable to be called an apostle. But his grace made me what I am. And he says, I worked harder than all the other apostles. Yet it wasn't me. It was his grace in me. But he says, I used that grace. I applied myself to it. I labored under that because that's what the work that he's given me to do. I wonder how the other apostles felt when they read that. I labored more abundantly than all of them. But he gave himself to the grace that God had given him. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 is talking about teaching faithful men who will teach others. But verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Actually, the Greek wording there from everything I read, it says, endure hardness with us. Timothy, endure hardness with us as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at war entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. If you're called into the ministry, you're going to be having to make some choices. Now, I am not saying you can't go to a beach, you can't relax, you can't do things. But Paul was telling Timothy, he says, look, a good soldier doesn't get all involved in the affairs of this life because he's wanting to please him who's chosen him to be a soldier. You're going to make choices. There's things that I wanted to do, things I like to do. I wanted to run a marathon. I got up to running 11 miles. I thought, I cannot afford to give this amount of time out of my life for this type of pursuit. That's me. I'm not putting a trip on anybody else. Because God deals with you individually, the things that you do, can do, want to do. If it's okay between you and the Lord, fine. I'm just saying, I know in my life I've had to make some choices. Say, well, I can't give myself to that because it takes away from what I'm supposed to do. And I always wanted to have a nice little wood shop. So I could work. You know what? At this point in my life, I don't care if somebody else gets all my tools. I really don't. As long as I can keep the stuff in my office, my books. Because it's like, I wish in some way I could have seen the depth of those verses. I mean, I understood them even as a younger man. But I don't know whether it's because I see time ticking down, but all of a sudden, those things are less important than ever before. To be able to focus on doing what he's called me to be. And that's my encouragement is for the guys in ministry, because I'm talking to some young guys growing into ministry. Learn what grace you have. Learn to give yourself to it. Keep a balance in your life. But there has to be a giving of yourself to laboring in the grace that God has given you. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you'll both save yourself and them that hear you. Now, if you're giving attention to reading, exhortation, doctrine, your gifting, meditating on these things, and that word meditate, it's talking about, yes, meditate, but also practice, cultivate these things in your life. And that, in verse 15, where it says in King James, give yourself wholly to them, the one definition I found, it says it's the equivalent of saying be in it up to your ears, be immersed, be wrapped in it, throw yourself into it. Now that sounds like a little bit more than, well, you know, I do a little bit of reading every day and I do some studying. If you have the grace of God to be in the fivefold ministry, take it before God to see if He's comfortable with where you're at. Don't take my standard. Take His. Say, God, am I spending enough time with you? He'll tell you yes or no. But here, Timothy was told to do this because the profiting would be seen by many, and he'd save himself and those that heard him. He says, take heed to yourself and the doctrine. You know, it's a doctrine is a funny thing. We're going to be moving on to teachers. But doctrine is always challenged by somebody, somewhere. And you have to be on top of it, or you have to be able to give yourself to continue seeking and searching whether those things are so. You know what that takes? It takes time. And you have to just be able to arrange it as a priority that God has given you. And you will profit. When I read Paul about, I am what I am by the grace of God, and I labored more abundantly, I mean, that stirs me. He's saying, and then I read about him, man, I keep under my body, and it's like, oh, man. He says, after preaching to others, I don't want to be a castaway. It's like this guy was just a machine almost. That's what it sounds like when I read about him. Like, man, he's just driven. I got to get the gospel. I got to do this. He was focused on accomplishing his task. And so that's what I'm encouraging the guys going into ministry, feel called to ministry. But see, each one of us with our graces can give ourselves to him. Serving, giving, and just looking to seek to excel in those things. And the body of Christ will be increased. Okay, you guys see, I'm not saying all you do is just go home, read your Bible, and pray, and then you go to bed, and then you wake up, and you read your Bible, and you pray. But there are so many pursuits that attract us. that are not necessarily evil. They're not. But when you do them, I've done some activities. When I got done, I kind of felt like the scripture in Proverbs where your mouth just feels like it's filled with gravel afterwards. It's like, man, why did we waste time doing that? It was just empty. I'd have rather just stayed home and studied. That was just a waste of this block of time that you can't recoup. And so I'm a little pickier on what I want to do if we have time to relax. I just don't want to waste it. All right. That ends pastors. Are there any questions? Nope. Okay.